When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Woo Woo with Rachel Dratch, the podcast that explores the unexplained with humor and curiosity. Hello and welcome to Woo Woo with Rachel Dratch. I'm here with my friend and co-host, Irene Bremis. Say hi, Irene.
Hi, Rachel.
Oh my gosh, we're so excited today because we have Seth Meyers. Let's cut to the chase. We have Seth Meyers here today.
What an honor.
Very
what
excited.
A delight.
Hi, Seth.
Hi.
Thanks so much. Thanks for joining.
I'm so happy to be here.
I have a little cold in case you hear that in my voice.
Yeah.
All of you listeners and Seth. Anyway, Seth Lee, hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking the time. You know, as I troll for guests and friends and hit up all my pals, I started with people that had like, you know, they were like woo-woo themselves or they had a crazy story. And I've moved on to people that might not even be very woo-woo, but they're friends and they said they'd join us. And so who knows? Who knows what we'll discover about you? I don't know. But it's not all ghosts. It could be like vibes. It could be manifesting. It could be something you don't believe in that you want to laugh out of there. Because we're, you know me, I'm not like the most woo-woo person that you know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, look, you're not, you don't look convinced.
It's good to be skeptical, too. I don't think welcome that.
Well, that's an interesting, if you said, do I think my friend Rachel is woo-woo? I would say you are convincible.
Convincible, another word for gullible, perhaps.
Yeah, right. I would say
Let's say I'm open.
Open sounds better.
Open to the and empathetic and a wonderful friend. No, maybe I'm just open slash gullible. Or no.
Yes.
But for the purposes of this, I think we're
open,
but then sometimes someone says something inside. I'm like, okay, that was clearly just the wind. But then happy they're joining. I'm like, okay, that was a ghost, you know. So we're kind of all over the map. But anyway, Seth Lee, often I start with talking about how I know the person. Mm-hmm. And with you, we have such a cute little story that I have to share it.
Oh, I'm so
you know our little story.
I love this story. I'm very excited to hear it again.
Okay, so when I was on SNL, I was still on the Upper West Side. So this must have been, I don't know, 2000. Well, you'll tell me the year. 2000 was it? Mm-hmm. Or 2001? Okay. Anyway, someone asks me, I forget how this all went down, but someone asks me if a young Seth Meyers, a young up and coming comedian who's going to be auditioning for SNL, well, someone gave you my info or something. So then you reached out to me with the sweetest, I guess we had email back then, the sweetest email. And I wish I kept a copy of it because it was so cute. And it was like something like, you know, dear Ms. Dratch, I don't know. And then we talked on the phone, I guess.
Yes.
And I think I gave you some advice, which I don't remember. And then you got the job.
And
there you were.
Co-worker. I remember being in an LA strip mall while I was on the phone with you. Because so many of the steps of even auditioning for SNL are so exciting and memorable. I remember the first time writing down the address to where to send the tape, you know, they're telling
the
me
tape,
like,
yeah.
And it's the 8th floor. And again, I'm just thinking to myself, I bet they don't tell this to everybody.
Yeah.
They gave me the floor. But I remember talking to you. You were so sweet. And you said something to me that I passed on to everybody who ever asked me for advice. You said, nobody's going to laugh.
Oh, right.
You basically tried to let me know, like, it's the deadest room you are ever going to perform in. And it is the deadest room, but there is a laugh or two. And so if somebody accomplished tells you, don't expect a single laugh, one laugh feels like killing, and that gives you the confidence to sort of get through it.
Right.
That was really helpful.
The advice I give now, because someone else just asked me, is I always say keep your characters short. I don't mean short height like I do, but keep the length of each character short, because some people go on and on.
Anyway, for everyone
out there that's about to audition for SNL,
don't do a one man show or a one person show. The other thing I should note, and I know this is more than you wanted out of this anecdote, but the other thing was,
we got to cover up for the lack of woo woo that's coming, so we should talk all showbiz. Yeah,
even before you were on SNL, I was starstruck by you because I had seen you in Second City. So to get to talk to you, for me, it was like this two-tiered thing of I've seen you on TV and I also saw you kill on stage.
Well, then, Seth Lee, when you were on the show, I was trying to think of our little history together. And of course, we created the age-old classic character that everybody knows. Well, a few people. That's sarcastic. No, a few people know of the character of Abe Scheinwald.
Yeah,
And you and I, sorry. So Seth and I sat next to each other during the read-through table. And the read-through is when everyone's reading through all the scripts. Like, it's like the almost like the audition for what sketches are going to get on the show. And so I had the pleasure of sitting next to Seth Lee for that. And that was really fun. But then we would sometimes write, I think one time I wrote to you, like, or you wrote to me, whoever, like, you think this scene has legs? And so then out of that phrase came this old guy character, Abe Scheinwald, that we wrote together. And in a, like, in how SNL works, it always got put last in the running order, which when your scene's last, it might not get in. So it got like cut for time. And then it got like cut for time again. And then I think it was like, this is it. Like, we put it up a third time. And I was like, oh, you know how precious. Well, whatever. I mean, I was always like, oh, God, please let this character get on, you know? So then it got on finally with Alec Baldwin, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
And it still was in the last slot, but it did well. And then we got to bring it back a few times.
Yeah. Abe Scheinwald. And then when your last show, do you remember I wrote Abe Scheinwald for you at the table for the last show?
You did. Yes.
With no intention of airing.
Yes. Right. I think I still kept that. No, we don't have a cue card for that, do we? No,
I don't think so, but I will, and I literally might get choked up saying this. But first of all, you were the best person to sit next to. I was so sad when you left. You were, because again, it is not a warm place, and you were a very warm, loving person to sit next to. And you were also very just giving with laughter. A lot of things that I would do at the table that I very understood very early on were not working well enough to air or even get picked. People like you, people like Polar, were like the very supportive laughers.
Aww,
but I don't even remember for the last show I wrote like a goodbye Scheinwald for you, and you didn't know it was coming. Go ahead.
Yeah, you brought coleslaw.
I brought coleslaw and glasses, and I handed to them to you and said, "I think you know what these are for."
Oh my God, that was such an amazing little gift, big gift, I should say.
It was your last table read, and it was just you, and then it was you just like hauling down coleslaw.
Oh my God, that's so sweet.
That is so sweet.
But you know what you did do, though? You did put me in the opener for the last show. I think you had me sing live from New York. Wow. So you did do that.
All right.
So right back at you with the love and vibes.
I feel like I'm in a very raw place emotionally while we're recording this podcast. So, you know,
am I going to make you cry?
Well, let
I might. And like, I think,
but I also
want to open myself up to, I want, nothing would be more, if a ghost came sort of mid-podcast.
That would be the best of all. If we could have a live ghost appearance, that would be a first.
Yeah.
Wait, are you really emotional?
I feel like.
Oh my gosh, you just had your 10-year show, 10-year anniversary show.
Amazing.
I turned 50 and then a month later had the 10-year of the show. And there's like just a lot of milestones and a lot of, I'm feeling a lot of gratitude.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I'm also Dratch. This isn't ghosts. I'm going to keep.
This is.
I'm doing a talk show thing where I'm constantly looking for connections. This is a talk show host thing. So this isn't ghosts, but I do feel like it's a little bit ghosts.
Also, we're not all ghosts, just so you know.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
We had, for the 10-year anniversary show, we had President Joe Biden on the show, and because of that, and of course Polar, and because of that, traffic was shut down around 30 Rock in the morning. Like, they shut down like four blocks. And I had this thing, Dratch, of like walking into the building and just remembering all the anxiety of the first years of walking into that building. Dude. And just how, and I felt like, and again, this is, I wouldn't have said this except for the podcast. It felt like a, I felt like I was exercising demons, like walking through and being like, oh, look at this. Like, I have two firm feet on the ground and I'm walking back into this building that I've been walking into now for 22 years. And there was something nice about like, and now today I'm walking in to do the 10th anniversary of my show with the president and my friend Amy Poehler. And as opposed to the way I used to walk in, being like, they're going to fire me. They're going to fire me.
Right. Fire
me. Amazing.
I like that. Wisdom and journey.
Wisdom and journey and goal achieved and success.
Goal, yeah. Sweetie. And now just absolutely. Waiting for the ghost. Waiting for the ghost.
As kids, we all loved eating cereal, but as we get older, we have to watch out for sugar and empty carbs, and that's where Magic Spoon comes in. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but high protein and less sugar. Magic Spoon comes in a variety pack. The four flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs, and it's only 140 calories a serving. It's high protein, 0 grams of sugar, keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. We love the cocoa flavor in our house. My son is especially into it. And we like making sure to have protein in the mornings and not just rely on carbs. Go to magicspoon.com/woo to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code WOO at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/woo and use code WOO to get $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. So Seth, in the world of woo woo, where I take it now, my impression of you is that you are on a scale of 1 to 10, you're like a 1 in beliefs of weird stuff. Okay, so you confirm that. I wasn't sure. I was like, maybe you'd be like, well, actually, I do have my tarot card read once.
So here's what I think: I'm not a 0, and I'm a 1. I wouldn't run through a graveyard.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't cut through a graveyard to save time.
Okay, gotcha.
You know what I mean? I want to keep it at a 1 because there's a sense of, you know, I don't want to like disturb. I don't want to go out of my way to disturb the dead. But ultimately, I don't feel like any woo-woo is coming to find me, and I don't feel like I'm very tuned in.
And now, have you ever gone to like some sort of through whatever? Have you ever had any sort of reading or like, you're at a party and someone's doing this or that, like? I don't know. Any sort of...
I do remember, this is the real amateur version of that. We did have a Ouija board era of like high school where we were pushing that around. But I remember mostly just asking questions about how it thought the Steelers were going to do that year.
Okay. Now, did you ever get answers or was it always like very obvious someone was just pushing it?
Well, the thing is I would get answers and then I would be able to like then compare that to the results of Steelers games and realize ghosts are guessing just like the rest of us. They're not from the future.
But you know what? That's so Irene has this pendulum thing that she does a reading on that you're going to get a yes or no question at the end. But this pendulum thing, it did pick an entire football season.
Yeah.
So it was written up in the Huffington Post.
Yeah.
I should have told you that beforehand. But anyways... Yeah, so it picked a whole season, and it seems to be always right. We don't know. But okay. I mean,
it's a gambler enabler. Right. Yeah.
You're going to have to think of a yes or no question later. What about your mom? Is she at all like, does she believe in any weird stuff?
No.
You come from a hardy New Hampshire stock, and you're just God fearing.
Yeah, we come from
God fearing New Englanders.
We are people of science.
I know. See, I like to say that I'm a person of science.
You are.
But here I am doing this.
Yeah.
They're not mutually exclusive, sweetie. Yeah.
Well, what about, look at me, I'm like, bingo card. What about UFOs? How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Because now there's all this evidence that came out, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm still not, I mean, is there life on other planets? I would say sure. Mm-hmm. But are they flying around here? I'm more skeptical.
So what about the So what about those Navy pilots?
The testimony.
Because you're up on the news with your show and everything.
Yeah.
Would you guys do anything about that?
No. And I got to say, I'm kind of like a lot of us in the modern era of politics. There's certain things that happen where I just say, don't have the bandwidth for you right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. I kind of was like that around that too. You know what I don't have the bandwidth for? With everything that I'm worried about in the world, I don't have the bandwidth to worry about AI.
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
Yeah.
Like, of course, with the whole actor strike, like that thing, like they're taking our jobs. Like, I get that. But AI in the larger world, like it's going to take over in civilization. I don't even understand that. And I'm like, I'm not going there. What about you?
Here's the other thing about AI is unlike the global warming, where there's no one has told me an upside for what could happen. If the planet gets warmer, there's actually a chance. No one's ever said that. It's just everybody's like, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. At least with AI, there's some chance it makes life better. Right. Maybe not for writers and actors, but I do think, medically
exactly.
There's going to be some breakthroughs thanks to AI or not. But I agree with you, Dratch. I'm sort of like, okay.
I'm putting that on a
and
shelf.
Also, there's that thing of like, if we can't beat the robots, we can't beat the robots.
They deserve to win.
If you can't, that's the thing. If a robot writes a better sketch than I can write, it's hard to argue. Right. I should be this guy.
Well, okay, so what about,
I have no respect for ghosts and a ton of respect for robots, if there's any takeaway for this.
That's a very SNL sketch type of thing to say. Okay, now what about, have you ever, like, you know what your sign is, right? This is so funny because you're the first person that I'm just like running through the
bingo card, so it's kind of
hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not hilarious for the listener, but it's hilarious for me.
I think it's good. I think this is,
I'm talking about me, not your performance. Wait, Seth, have you ever paid, you know what sign you are? Right.
I'm a Capricorn, and I never thought about Capricorn until
Polar,
who would yell out.
Yes. Really?
And she would, there were things I did where she would, and again, Polar makes you, she makes you feel proud about who you are.
That's true.
Be it your earth sign or your new shirt. And so she'd be like, earth sign. And I was the first time I had any acknowledgement that there was maybe something about me that lent to my star sign. Of course, with that said, I don't put any stock in it until my wife is an Aries.
Fire.
And then both of my boys are Aries. And I don't even know what my daughter is. I just know she's not an Aries, and I'm so fucking relieved. I don't even know what Aries are, but at some point I was like, I don't want a fourth one.
They're strong signs.
Wait, what's your...
Anything but.
Yeah, very strong.
What's September... I can't believe I don't know, but what's September 15th?
Oh, that's a Virgo.
That's a Virgo, yeah.
Okay, so Polar's a Virgo too. Mm. I love Virgos personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're
awesome signs.
Also Earth signs.
But Capricorn, you know what's funny? Okay, I don't know that much about signs, but to me, you're a typical Capricorn.
Yeah.
Because Amy from high school is a Capricorn.
But very hard worker. Yeah.
And ambitious and practical. Yeah. And what else?
Ambitious, practical. Always, there's a part of you that wants to make the world much better. Like you,
save
the world.
You do that.
And if you get depressed, you get really down. Is that part of it? I'm going into the negative side.
That's probably true about everyone.
Yeah. No, not everyone. But
no, I mean, if you get depressed,
I dated about three Capricorns. It was true about them.
But I mean, if you get depressed, you're going to get down. That's kind of
That's true. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm always looking for like what follows for everybody. Okay, so your daughter's a Virgo. All right. Well, then I don't know much about Aries. Though.
Aries are Virgo.
I just feel like we needed to break it out because it's already a very, there's a real Aries tilt to
it's
the household.
It's hard. They're very strong signs.
And I needed something to break it out.
What does that mean though?
Oh my God.
What would you say about Aries?
She knows more than I do.
They're
despotic in a way. They're leaders and they're despotic. They're very.
Despotic. Yeah. Leaders. I'm going to choose despotic over leaders.
I do a lot of astral projecting at night. I mean, you never know where I might turn up. Okay, maybe I haven't mastered the art of astral projection yet, but I'm sure that getting a good night's sleep must be a part of it. Did you know that your temperature at night can have one of the greatest impacts on your sleep quality? If you wake up too hot or too cold, I highly recommend you check out Miracle Made's bed sheets. Inspired by NASA, Miracle Made uses silver-infused fabrics that makes temperature-regulating bedding so you can sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. And the NASA thing is important to me personally because I like to know my sheets can astral project right along with me directly into space. Miracle Made sheets are infused with silver that prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, leaving them to stay cleaner and fresher 3 times longer than other sheets. So go to trymiracle.com/woo to try Miracle sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo woo at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/woo and use the code woo to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40%. Again, that's trymiracle.com/woo to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made Sheets, for sponsoring this episode.
I will not walk under a ladder.
Ooh, okay. Okay. Oh, yeah. Superstitions. Yep.
And yes? I will, if I see a penny that is tail side up, I will flip it over.
Oh, now I'm going to start doing that.
And I believe Jack McBrayer does the same thing. And we realized that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I like turning an unlucky penny lucky.
Oh. I didn't even know that tails was unlucky. I didn't either. I never heard that.
Now I'm going to have to do that. I had no idea.
What's the origin?
I think head side up. In my head, head side up is a lucky penny. So
now I know. Okay.
And also, I've done it in front of my kids, and I don't want them to see it because I think it's crazy.
So then you secretly like.
So I'll like bend down to fake tie a shoe and turn over.
Oh my gosh! Okay, that's
a little woo woo. Yeah.
Are we up to it?
Yeah.
Are we
up to it? Too. You just push the needle. Yeah. It's the needle's like climbing.
It's struggling over to the right. Yes.
What about, do you have any like showbiz superstition, like, you know, rituals, whatever, like I won't go on stage. Like I never had any of these, so I don't know any actors that do. It seems like a myth that like I've got to, whatever, say 3 Hail Marys. I don't know.
But they have little rituals. Right. A lot of people.
But do they though? Yeah. I don't know anyone that really does.
I know a few that have.
We have the show itself, because you do it every night, there are like built-in rituals, but that's more, I would say they're more the process than the ritual, but then the process becomes the ritual. It's a little bit like how Mr. Rogers would have to take his shoes off anyway. So you just kind of make a little, but there's not, I try very hard, especially with performing, to not make it seem so big that it needs a thing.
Yes.
You know, like I don't want to, I don't want to put in a thing that like, oh, but if I don't have it, then, you know, my lucky, you know, and it's like, what?
That's probably the improviser in you. You know what I mean? Like I kind of approach things like that too. I mean, for me.
And just knowing you're aspiring to looseness, and I don't feel like superstition is a good
that's a good
for that.
Nugget.
I like that.
Aspiring to looseness, the Seth Meyers story.
I like it.
And then the cover of the book is just very rigid.
No, but that's a good aspire. I like that just for performing too. And for life, I guess. It's like trying to just zen out and let the process take over. I'm trying to take small actions that can make a big difference in my life. For example, I'm trying to read more before I go to sleep instead of scrolling on my phone. Because small actions can have big benefits, like how taking care of your gut can support whole body health. I'm learning that Seeds DS01 Daily Symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 little capsules a day. Your body is an ecosystem, and great health starts in the gut. Your gut is a central hub for various pathways through the body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits for digestion, skin health, heart health, your immune system, and more. Seed's patented capsule and capsule design means fragile bacteria can survive the journey from shipping to your door to where it works best in your body. So it gets to where your body really needs it, all without synthetic or chemical coatings. I'm excited to take this new step for my overall health, so join me in this act of self-care, won't you? Trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/woo and use code 25woo to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/woo, code 25woo. Okay, now what about, what else?
I know, what about topic?
This is like a quiz.
Psychic moments with your wife. How about that?
How woo-woo are you? Oh, yeah.
Have your wife ever had the same thought?
Have you ever had a, what if he's like, no, we've never had the same thought?
I will say no.
Have you ever had a dream that came true?
Yeah, or something like that.
Were you like, oh, I think I'm going to get this job? Or what? Like, I've had those kind of dreams. No, okay.
Feeling?
Or have you ever had a psychic vibe?
Like a psychic vibe.
It's okay if the answer is no. Yeah. Or has Alexi? How woo woo is Alexi?
I feel like Alexi might be a little more woo woo than me, but probably maybe a five. Yeah. I hope. By the way, this proves we've never had a second where I'm like somewhere between a 0 and a 10.
Well, it's not really required. Okay, so we've established you've never seen a ghost.
You've never seen a ghost.
If you were a ghost, what kind of ghost would you be?
It's coming to this. We've abandoned woo-woo completely.
I will say I was just saying this the other day. Somebody asked if I go back. We're on the same hall as SNL. We shoot our show the same. And I do a Q&A with the audience. And an audience member said, do you ever go back to SNL? And I said, I don't. Not because I have any issue with it. Mostly because I'm not interested in staying up that late on a Saturday when I have kids I have to be with on Sunday. But I also remember when I was still on the show and Polar came back, I said, is it fun being back? And she said, it's like being a ghost in the house you grew up in and everybody's just walking through the door. Like no one, it's just incredibly, this space means so much to you. And yet the people who live there now have they don't share your memories. They don't. And so that I wouldn't want to be that kind of ghost, right? I would want to be, I don't know. I mean, I think like a low key helpful ghost, but like not, I don't want to soul murders and stuff, but I feel like maybe a little like get in somebody's ear when they're nervous. Like I, you know what? A ghost that helps kids who are maybe feeling anxiety in school.
That's so sweet.
You'd be kind of like counselor. An imaginary friend.
Like just like maybe with good.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's good. This will be good. Oh, yeah.
That's a guardian angel.
Like a guardian angel. That's more of like an angel.
Clarence
yeah.
from It's a Wonderful Life, sort of. Well, he was on a mission, but see, you're a benevolent presence, so I could see you're not gonna go and scare people and like throw dishes off of a counter.
No. I don't. I mean, there are plenty of times where I've dropped a dish where I wish I believed in ghosts enough to pin it.
Here's our title. Seth Meyers. He's no poltergeist.
Is there like if you ever walked into a place where you felt uneasy? Like something like besides you felt SNL, like something
besides the eighth floor.
Yeah.
I will say though, I do keep calling back, but I remember like people like Tracy Morgan will always talk about like, you know, I love going to Studio 8H because you can just feel the ghosts. I don't feel the ghosts. You know, I don't feel the ghosts. I don't feel Farley or Belushi. I don't think they're here.
I don't really feel ghosts either, I have to say. Although I did have a ghostly sighting, Seth.
Well, I don't feel ghosts, but sometimes you walk into a place and you feel uneasy.
Right.
Right?
I have a very uneasy relationship with nostalgia. I feel some people get happy with nostalgia, and nostalgia makes me sad. So I lived in Amsterdam for 2 years, worked for this wonderful theater, Boom Chicago. And it was maybe the most intense 2 years of my life, which is a weird thing to say considering I did SNL, but it was, I was in Amsterdam. I felt like it was, I was around all these amazing, talented people. We were all in the beginning of our careers. And so it had this excitement that's sort of impossible to replicate because it was like youth and friendship and art and all these, and a new place. And so there were no other Americans. We all knew each other. And so when I go back to Amsterdam, I have this aching nostalgia for the past that makes Amsterdam weirdly hard to go to. I don't love going back because the ghosts of the late 90s are a little too intense.
Oh my gosh, that's you just described such a feeling that I feel that like everyone can relate to, but it's not talked about really. Like nostalgia as sadness
is not really.
I have that too. I mean, Eli has like, this is so funny, but I just got him a new dresser, right? Because I got like still had the IKEA little mini kid toddler dresser, and I finally just yesterday got this nice, like more like teen, you know. And so I moved the other one out, and I said like oh my gosh, I'm really loving this dresser here, don't you? And he's like, well, yeah, but I have some nostalgia.
Oh wow.
And it was like oh right, like this is like marking your childhood is officially over.
Because I moved this little,
so I don't really talk about that much, like in the sadness,
right, the sadness of nostalgia.
I definitely feel that, like I totally get what you're saying, and I feel like there's probably some German word to describe that, or you know what I mean, like that, like you're happy to be back there, but
there's a longing or sadness.
I think there's a thing of if I have a great night in Amsterdam, it's not as today, like as a 50-year-old, it's not going to crack the top 100 nights I had as a young 25-year-old improviser. And it's not Amsterdam's fault, but I think there's Alexi's family. I don't know if they will or they won't, but they still live in the house she grew up in New Mexico. And they're talking about selling it. And the kids, especially the girls, are, I'm watching in real time as they cannot grapple with the fact, like they are speaking of it like a sort of ancestral land that I don't really have about my childhood home, but it's just Amsterdam. Right. I think there was something about those years in Amsterdam where I'm like, I'm so aware that I can't access what that felt like.
Well, I love that description you said, because it kind of reminds me of Chicago in a way, because I came to Chicago kind of like the same way you went to Amsterdam, because you'd been in college in Chicago, but just, I mean, that feeling of like, it's everything's new and we're all like, just a lot of like the friend crossing over with the comedy, crossing over with the social life and
it's a lot of firsts and how exciting firsts are. Like the first time you crush it in Improv Olympic, or the first time for you, I'm sure the first time a sketch you came up with made it into a Second City show and worked. And so you just, I don't know. It's like wind in your hair. You're like, here we go.
Because you don't even know if you're going to, you know, make it, whatever, however you want to call that as a career. You don't know if that's going to happen. And there's something about that sort of drive. Like I was just talking about this because I don't really feel like I have that drive right now. Not in a really bad way. I don't have that same like the joy of like rising up I don't mean the ladder like competition. I mean your own little like, oh my gosh, I did this, or I did like your own little achievements. The first, like you said, the firsts. Mm-hmm. And then surrounded in this new place. And I'm sure the Amsterdam of it all made it even more wondrous.
Yeah. And the other thing, which is, you will certainly agree, and I'm not being negative about how amazing it was to be on SNL, but it felt like SNL, you get SNL, and unlike Chicago, unlike Amsterdam, it was the first time you felt that palpable sense that you could lose something.
Totally. Yes.
You know, because you get, like getting SNL was the last time, I don't know, it was like, innocence was gone.
Well, because also when you're on a theater, it's just you in the audience, and they're laughing or they're not laughing, and like, so if they're laughing, you're good, you know. At SNL, there's all sorts of people in between, sort of you and the audience, and there's the process of getting your sketch on. Blah, blah, blah. So,
and everything feels, everything all of a sudden Chicago, everything felt infinite, and then you get to SNL and it becomes so rigidly finite. There are 20 shows. There are 90 minutes. There are this many cast members. They are all wanted as badly as you.
Yeah.
And so maybe that is weirdly, when I think about it now, it's just, why do I love Amsterdam? It was like the last innocent time. Because I remember that first day, everybody said, how great was your first day at SNL? The great day was when you found out you got SNL. Like, because that was, you just, because then you, the whole day was just telling people. Dream come true, telling people, everybody's so happy. Everybody knows what it is. You don't have to explain. I got cast
Right.
And then I remember like walking in the first day, being so excited, and you walk by all the pictures on the wall, and all you see are like the most famous people. And then by the end of the first week, you're walking out and all you see are the least famous people.
Wow.
You know, and then you're like, oh. Yeah. And that was where it's like, oh, this isn't, I didn't, my ticket's not punched.
Right.
It was like.
No, I still get anxious walking into the hallways there. But then it's also.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe because it's that ghost thing that Amy said.
Wow, like, that's a.
It's been that, so long I mean, since look, I've been off the show now. That like I don't even know. I even met some of the cast members. Like before, you'd at least know them. I feel pretty removed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
It's weird how much time has passed. And you would. The other thing is you would. They like redid the 17th floor, and it feels, and the offices are still appropriately shaggy, but the
it's I like
weirdly
nice
like
and
the
modern?
Doors. It feels like a law office. It feels wrong to me, stylistically.
Wow, I haven't been there in so long.
Yeah. The law firm of Michael Higgins and Kenmore.
Well, I looked up to see if there's a word for the sadness of nostalgia, but maybe there's. What is it called when nostalgia makes you sad? Oh, no, it says nostalgic depression. That's not what I was
right
looking
to the
for.
Point.
I was looking for like a weird, like Norwegian
term,
word
yeah.
or something. Oh well,
yeah.
Maybe I'll have to find that afterwards. Okay, well, why don't we do your reading?
Ooh.
Seth Lee, if you can just think of a yes or no question, it's something that it's not like earth shattering, where it's like, and not that you would believe it anyway, but some people like, if they ask like, am I ever going to find a man? And it says no, then they get sad.
Okay, so I'm gonna ask you guys a question.
So you're
going
to share it, so it has to be something you're willing to share. But first, you're just going to think it. So
just
Irene's
think it, yeah.
not going to know what it is. When she's, and it goes clockwise for yes and counterclockwise for no.
All right, hold on. Wait, I want to make sure I don't waste.
Now you're a 10.
Now you're a 10.
If you care, you're at least an 8 now.
You got it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's a yes, but I have to do a safety. I do have to do a safety on this one. It took a while. Yes, that's a yes.
What was your question?
Oh, God.
Are we going to have another kid?
Oh wow.
Nah, I'm dying. Now I'm a 0 again. There's no way.
I said don't ask anything important. Well, maybe that's... No,
that's
I know.
Important.
I said... Okay,
that's
it's important enough.
Sorry. Gotcha. I don't think it's important.
It's important enough that it matters, but not important enough that, like, it's gonna... Okay,
Yes.
Well, it
sweetie.
Says you are. Wow.
I don't know.
Wrap it up.
That's what I have to say.
If we have another kid, I'm
okay,
like
Okay, that's
not.
True. Now, I will say...
I wanted to pick something where I felt pretty firmly what I knew the answer was, but also.
But what about your wife? Does she
want to
have another kid?
Okay. No. So I'm going to say this now. Irene, don't get mad at me, but Penji has been totally right on everything, but Penji did pick the Super Bowl wrong.
Well,
I'm sorry, Irene.
But in Penji's
Maybe
defense,
in Penji's office
look at me
game.
Suddenly. I'm getting very upset. I'm just saying that in Penji's defense, I was affecting it because I was asking the question. Well, you know, every reading I've had for the Super Bowl when it got the write up was silent, and Penji picked every, and it was a different pendulum, by the way.
Okay,
the one that
that's a,
the winners.
A lot of excuses here.
Caveats all of a sudden about Penji.
Okay, one little addendum is I found a word. It's a Portuguese word. So I'm probably saying it wrong, but saudade. Sorry, everyone in Portuguese. Saudade. And it means an emotional state of melancholic or profoundly nostalgic longing for a beloved yet absent something or someone.
All right.
Okay. Like S-A-U-D-A-D-E. Right. Yeah. Oh, wait, it's pronounced saudade. Okay, there.
Saudade. What, you listen to the phonetic?
Producers in my ear telling me proper pronunciation. Saudade. All right, well, there. Now we've learned something. No, but you did bring up a really cool concept, so we got that.
All right, good. So I think maybe in the end I wasn't
not a,
dud.
A
total
dud. Well, you're not a dud.
Oh, my
anyway.
God, you were great. Okay,
no, that was
amazing.
Good. Thank you so much,
yes,
Seth.
Yes, thank you.
I'd like to see the ghost of a pirate.
Before.
I just saying, I didn't know if there was a chance to get that out.
Okay,
I'd like to put
let's
that in
get
the world.
That out there.
If I could pick one,
okay,
a ghost
so,
of a pirate.
Did you hear that? Universe, please provide Seth with a pirate ghost.
And I know everybody out there is like, I want to be shown where the gold is.
No.
That's not it. I'm not asking for anything. I just want to see the okay. ghost of a pirate. A little eye contact okay. with it.
All right, we'll see what we can do.
Thank you, Irene. Thank you,
Drew. Thank you so much.
Thanks for taking the time. And you can find me on Instagram at Ray Dratch, R-A-E Dratch, and Irene at Irene Bremis, B-R-E-M-I-S. And also, don't forget to check out Irene's comedy special on Amazon and where else, Irene?
Apple TV
and
Sweetie.
And beyond. Oh, and it's called Sweetie, of course. Sweetie. So check that out. Thanks for joining me on this journey into the world of woo-woo. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Woo Woo with Rachel Dratch is a Q Code production. Executive produced by David Henning and Steve Wilson. Produced by Alexa Gabrielle Ramirez. Edited by Ben Milchev.